Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Saints made a smart decision, re-signing Alvin Kamara. Now you can make a smart decision of your own. Sign up to become an annual Saints Happy Hour fan club patron and save 5% off the monthly rate. You get access to the Saints Happy Hour daily podcast ad-free. No ads ever. You get the Saints Happy Hour booze bundle, 4 swag items, amazing. Access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7. What are you waiting for? This offer won't be around forever. Go to saintshappyhour.com, sign up, and save 5% today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We have so much to discuss tonight. I think we need to start with the Saints. They got the Quan, Kevin.
Quan? That's your word?
Hell yeah, that's my word. You know, some dudes might have the coin, but they'll never have the Quan.
What is?
It means love, respect, community, and the dollars too. The entire package, the Quan.
They got the Quan. Loomis did it again. It's not even Tuesday, Andrew. They're already making trades. We'll get to Chicago in a second. But this is exciting. They got a linebacker. I am sad, though, because I have to play this. It's the end of Anzalone, right?
Yeah, you say that, but currently one of them is healthy and playing, and currently one of them is not. I'll let you be the judge on which one's which.
So, Andrew, what are you drinking? And then tell us about Quan Alexander.
I was going to say, Dave seems mighty confident in our in Anzalone's shoulders right now.
Italians got to stick together.
Yes.
yeah, my people have been persecuted. Remember Sacco and Vanzetti? I knew Kevin would appreciate that. Kevin loves a good historical joke. this is the furthest that Anzalone's ever gone into the season. So, I mean, you know, can you blame me for getting excited? It's like beyond week 6 and he's still playing.
Okay, so. I was going to say, can you blame the Saints for picking up another linebacker knowing that they're not going to get any more?
Yeah, they're like, we're already on borrowed time here.
I'm pumped about the pickup, but I was going to ask before we start the show, now that there's a new Borat movie, is it in to make Borat jokes again?
My wife!
Wait.
Have we come full circle on that?
What do you mean again? Are you implying that making Borat jokes at some point went out of style? Because I have to disagree with that.
Fair.
I'm going to choke Daniel Jones with my one good arm. He is a trash quarterback, and Tampa should be losing by more. He's pissing me off. Sorry.
The Bucs are currently – are they still losing, though?
They're still losing, but they should be losing by more. But Daniel Jones is a trash can.
14-9, the Giants over the Bucs. The Giants are going to blow this.
No, of course they are. But Andrew, let's talk about, Quan Alexander and – what he brings to the Saints before we get to the Bears game, which the Bears game was amazing, and we're going to roast the Stat Nerds. I got a bone to pick with them, among other things.
Well, if you're I'm close to finishing my masterpiece. I'm on game five of his five games in 2020. And if you're a $10 patron, you'll get to see that write-up. I'm sure we'll do a podcast on that too. But, yeah, I'm getting a chance to watch some of his tape. And, you know, I think he's – look, first of all, we got to talk about the fact that he went to LSU.
Oh, I was going to say.
Go Tigers.
The Saints pick up an LSU player. So what happened to that? What happened to that narrative? What are we going to do with that?
Kevin, the only thing that would have been more 2020 is if the Saints had traded for Quan Alexander, an LSU player.
Go Tigers.
And got a draft pick back. That would have made it the most 2020 thing. But, I mean, the Saints trading for an LSU player. Dave, I feel like I needed to go into my Y2K bunker. Like, the end times is near.
Wait, you have a bunker?
Yeah.
Wait, you don't?
No, wait. Wait, you're kidding, Ralph, right?
No, I don't have a fucking bunker.
Okay.
get out of here with that.
Well, I believe what Al Woods was the last, technically was the last LSU player drafted.
No, no, Will Clapp.
Oh, yeah. Was he drafted? Okay, Will Clapp was drafted. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's not that far fetched, but I mean, whatever. I'm preparing to throw shade at LSU later in the podcast. I'm not ready to do it just yet. I've got something else in the works.
Brother Martin, high school graduate, will clap. By the way,
we'll make him clap. We'll make him clap. Yeah. Oh, I like watching Ralph try to clap.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That is
fucking
so mean.
Fucking coming out brutal here.
It is. Yeah. It's like the only thing that was more brutal than that was Thomas Morstead forgetting to put the laces out.
It was all at Dan Marino's fault. Everyone knows that. If he had had the ball laces out like he's supposed to, Ray would never have missed that kick. Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell. Would you like a cookie, son?
Yeah, that...
They're little footballs! I love how Juge asks, wait, are the Borat jokes back in style and we're ripping sound from a movie that's like 20 fucking years old here?
Well, if you had watched the game, Kevin, you would have known that Will Lutz missed a field goal because Thomas Morstead didn't put the laces out.
You know?
Didn't know that was the specific case. All I saw on Twitter, because I was following the game on Twitter,
yeah.
All I saw was just people talking about throwing Sean Fazan under the bus because he literally talked about how Lutz had been perfect all year.
We did that last week, too.
And to Fazan's credit, he quote-tweeted himself or quote-tweeted somebody calling him out and saying, yeah, I'm going to take the blame for that.
Yeah, we did that too. Dave, people have requested your thoughts on the egregious refereeing at the end of the game. DeMario Davis caused a fumble, recovered the fumble, and the referees called it a fumble, threw the beanbag, and then had a group discussion and realized that they needed to screw the Saints or try to and reversed it and said it was down by forward progress.
I'm you know, I've got mixed feelings on this. I understand.
It makes me almost want to vomit.
I'm sorry. Maybe you're not going to get the rant you were hoping for. I've got mixed feelings on it. Obviously it was a very close play. It could have gone either way, and so I think the prevailing theory is, well, they called it a fumble on the they called it a fumble, they should have just kept it a fumble.
Yes, right.
And I get that, but at the same time
you gotta blow the whistle, though. That's how that works. If you can't let the dude rip out the ball, jump on top of it, recover it, run all the way to the end zone, celebrate with his teammates, and then go, after discussion, we've decided that forward progress. That's not how that works. If you think forward progress is stopped, you have to blow the whistle and blow the play dead right then and there. Not let it play out with all that fanfare.
I think you should let it play out, because that way, because you don't know who's right and what's right and what's wrong. And if you blow the whistle, the Saints have gotten screwed on a play like that. I think it was Cam Jordan a year or two ago when he recovered the fumble. He ran it all the way back for a touchdown, but they said, no, we blew the whistle, and the play was dead, even though they went back and looked at it.
Let me ask you something.
I have one more point to make. The point is we as Saints fans who have gotten screwed over so many times by shitty calls, we should always be in favor of getting the call right. And if technically he had forward progress and it should have stopped the play, and the technically, even though they called it originally a fumble, if the correct call on the field correct call should have been forward progress, no fumble, then that's what we should want the call to be. We should want truth and transparency.
Let me ask you this, Dave. I don't want
truth and transparency. I want the Saints to start getting breaks.
Yes.
And by the way,
unfair breaks.
We're roasting each other. Let's just let the people know. Kevin didn't watch the game yesterday. He followed it on Twitter. But, Kevin, you could have watched the game because it was America's Game of the Week, but you put it on Fox and it was a goddamn commercial, so you didn't think you thought you didn't have the Saints. You could have watched the game yesterday.
Right. It should have occurred to me when I kept seeing on Twitter people bagging on Troy Aikman.
Yeah, what?
Yes.
Because like Troy Aikman apparently kept calling out Drew Brees
that
and saying stupid shit about
stupid.
Wake up. All right, listen. First of all, this is a dark day and a flat-out embarrassment that Dave is defending the refs. So I'm disgusted by that.
I'm not defending the refs.
Secondly, how far have you fallen that you're now defending the refs in a Saints game? Secondly, I gotta give my boy Samir, who I talked to about the game today. He asked me this question, but I gotta ask it on this podcast because he's totally right. Let me play out this scenario for you. Same exact thing, except after forward progress is stopped, DeMario Davis kind of lets up. Cole Kmet gets out of his grasp. They don't blow the whistle, and he runs and scores a touchdown. You think they're going to stop the fucking play and say, oh, after discussion is forward progress is stopped? Do you think they're going to take away a touchdown? You flip the script now. Let him score a touchdown, and I'm asking you, do you think the refs are doing the Saints a solid and saying, forward progress was stopped?
No way.
Not a freaking chance.
No way.
We can cuss on here, Juge. You can say fuck.
No fucking chance.
There we go.
Not a fucking chance. Just like the Giants have no chance in this game against the Bucs.
Already losing.
The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff early, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I want to say this. And I say this as we subscribe to PFF to help Jude with his tape watching and grades and different analytics and stats that he wants. They gave Drew Brees like a 55 game rating today and ripped him and said his A dot, whatever the fuck that is, it was negative, and say how bad he played against the Bears. He had two turnover plays. Dude, they don't even watch the fucking... There's 30-mile-an-hour winds. The Saints are down three receivers, and they win. And, yeah, they weren't great on third down. But, like, if that's bad fucking quarterbacking, the people at PFF that watch the games don't know what the fuck they're watching. I'm sorry. It's infuriating because they have this aura of legitimacy in their grades and all this, and they're watching the game. They know less about football than me, and I barely know how to count to fucking four. All right? So I was just pissed off about that. I saw that on Twitter. That made me upset. But
My question is, I did see someone say that Breeze had the highest passer rating from weeks 4 through 6 on PFF, the highest grade, and it just says, "Make up your mind, nerds."
But Kevin, I want to ask you this because you deal well with philosophical questions and that sort of thing. Why do the stat nerds and the media, why do they hate Breeze so fucking much? They don't vote him MVP. They're always slighting him. And it's not just because of the Yahoo Finance disaster in the summer. Like, why do they do this to him constantly? They had legitimate NFL writers clamoring for Jameis yesterday when it was 13-3. What is the deal?
I think some of it is, you could argue, small market. Small market franchise that didn't have a history of success, so it's easy to ignore, easy to disregard, because, you know, with the NFL, most of the time a team will succeed and it'll last for a little bit, and then they'll kind of slip off for stretches. Like what happened with the Patriots is the far outlier where they had so many years of dominance and playoff berths and all that kind of shit. So you get a guy that, and look, when he was with the Chargers, he was just a guy. He was top half in quarterbacking, but nobody was going to argue, oh, this guy in San Diego is among the top tier, or even the second tier quarterbacks. So when he chooses to come to New Orleans and suddenly fucking is throwing 4,000 yards, hitting 30 touchdowns, arguably an MVP candidate in 06, arguably an MVP candidate in what, 2011, MVP candidate fucking 2012.
2018 too, for the first half of the year.
So he's doing all those things, succeeding with essentially a cast of who's that. Wins a Super Bowl, triumphs despite the fact that people just triumphs over Peyton Manning, who was anointed by fucking everybody, broke a whole bunch of records, doing it under the radar, essentially.
But
I don't know. Forget all that.
He's 41 now, and at today, this season in 2020, he's the 7th rated passer in the NFL. If you go by QBR, which some people say is a better metric, he's 6th. So if that sucks, when you don't have Michael Thomas and you don't have Emmanuel Sanders and you don't have Marcus Callaway and Benny Fowler, who sucks but is our best receiver right now because all those other three guys are gone, he doesn't have him either. Like, I don't know, the 7th rated passer in the league, 6th in QBR, sounds pretty fucking good to me.
Oh, no, it does. Like, I'm just saying, you cycle all this shit through. Then you get to him being 41. Suddenly it's okay. It becomes a self-perpetuating media thing where it's like, okay, he's old. He should just sort of like fade out, and they should let the Jameis thing happen because that's a more interesting story. That's a more interesting narrative. You know, it'll be that. Like,
well, here's the thing that's frustrating me, Dave, is Tom Brady's going to come back and win this game against the Giants, and they're going to, he's done it, they're ahead already. They're going to call him gritty and a winner and all this. Breeze does it yesterday, and look, I know he's not quite a media person, but Bill Simmons was saying the Saints aren't impressive, and I just looked at the Saints yesterday, and we'll get to the defense in a minute, but Dave, that game plan, where they're down 3 receivers, the Bears know Alvin Kamara is going to get just a crap load of touches, and they didn't really have an answer for it, and it was an amazing performance, and I want Breeze to get credit for it. But my question to you is, Kamara and Taysom Hill actually made a good appearance yesterday. is that sort of get you excited again? Are we back on the Taysom Hill? Can we fire
I gotta,
up the
I got before Dave answers that, I have to point out this great comment in the chat. This is from AP. He says, "Ralph, yeah. if you can count to four, at least you're smarter than Tom Brady."
That's true.
That's Continue.
Well, look, Ralph, to answer your last question to Kevin, you asked a simple question. How come people why are people disrespecting Drew Brees? Well, because there's a lot of dumb people in the world. Tomorrow's election day, you know what? There are going to be some people that are going to vote for Kanye, okay? Those people that vote for Kanye, those are the same idiots who think that Drew Brees is washed up and who think, you know, it's all done and we should put, you know, what's his face? Jameis Winston in. So that's your simple answer. Some people, I hate to break it to you, some people just have bad taste. And the worst problem is...
Hey, is that a shot at me because I'm drinking Bud Light Lime?
Giants take the lead, baby.
Right, like you and your beer. Like, you have bad taste. And the good thing about you, what I was going to say is the good thing about it is you know you have bad taste. There are some people out there that have bad taste, and they don't know they have bad taste. And they actually, what's even worse, they think they have good taste. And then they go around and they go talking about how great their taste is and how right they think they are, and really they're not. They're not right at all. And those are the people that are saying negative things about Drew Brees, and they're just people with stupid, bad taste. Okay, now to go to your other question, Taysom Hill, I picked him as my player of the game last
week.
You
did? I forgot about that. I should have right. reminded me. I could have cut that audio up for you.
That's okay. I, you know, that's fine. I've been right a lot this season. I'm getting used to it. And then the next.
You know what I like about you?
I hate to hear
humility.
That. I hate to hear that.
That's
Didn't I call a Lutz walk-off winning field goal, or was that
you might have.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't know. To remember. You were two weeks too early on that one.
We do really need to go back and
right grade, you know, ourselves.
We need an intern.
Just real quick. That could be a good segment. That would be a good segment.
Categorize all our results.
We'll get the womp, womp, womp. We'll get the Price is Right thing whenever we're wrong. But talking about Alvin Kamara, you know, we talked about it last week. Is he in the pole position for Offensive Player of the Year?
Yes.
You know, he's definitely looking like it. I mentioned Dalvin Cook. He had four touchdowns this week.
They're 2-5, though.
I understand that. But if Dalvin Cook, you know, scores fucking 40 touchdowns, it's going to be hard to ignore him. You know, DK Metcalf, I mentioned him. I think he had another great game last week. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's players out there. Yeah. But, you know, Alvin Kamara is definitely he's on a winning team. So he's got that going for him. And he's versatile. He does it on the ground and in the air, which is, I think, what makes him a special player and such a great player.
Andrew, I'm going to ask you a serious football question, actually. Drew Brees has scored before the half in the two-minute drill 5 consecutive weeks before the half. The Saints have won 4 of those games. He scored even in the right at the, before the half against Green Bay, great throw to Emmanuel Sanders. I have a theory that Drew Brees is at his absolute – the best he's ever been at the two-minute drill – one, because he's got so much institutional knowledge, or whatever you want to call it, with Sean Payton, the offense. But secondly, with no crowd, he can do whatever the fuck he wants at the line of scrimmage to manipulate. And it's that is as big of an advantage to Drew Brees as the Saints defense would have with the crowd. That's my theory why he's rocking in the two-minute offense. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you are. I think it helps him. It also helps the offensive line, you know, with communication, blitz pickups, all that. So, especially on the road. So, I do think that makes a difference for sure. But, you know, if you hear Taysom Hill in the postgame conference just talk about why they're winning these close games, he flat out says it's the leadership we have on this team and the experience that Drew Brees has. Because – you know, you got to think of it this way. Look at all these rookie quarterbacks, and yes, they're paid, and yes, they're professionals, but they get nervous, you know, in the two-minute drill. And I just think Brees has done it so many times, and he's seen everything. He knows exactly where to go with the football. He knows exactly what he's going to see. And I just think he's probably flatline. Like, if you took his blood pressure in those moments, it goes down. All right? And I just think he's cool as a cucumber, ice water in his veins, and that's why you see his best football.
All right, we waited till like halfway through the show to get to the really great stuff. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Dave, you got usurped. Your investigative journalism for the Saints with Junior Gallette in the belt used to be the gold standard for Saints investigative journalism, but Evan Sachs, a follower of mine on Twitter and a good guy, he makes cool videos, he went Woodward and Bernstein and investigated what exactly happened with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Javon Sims, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson snatched his mouthpiece. But Kevin, I asked Andrew this question, or maybe we talked about it on the podcast, but I want you to give a more specific answer. Snatching the mouthpiece, that is very offensive. It's not Akeem Tlaib snatching the chain from Michael Crabtree offensive, but it's really offensive. Like, I can get why your boy Sims stewed for like 15 minutes on the sideline and wanted to get him. Your thoughts on the whole snatching the mouthpiece, did it deserve the ire that Sims had?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with Dave on this one. Like,
why
like,
is that so offensive?
Like, if you rip the mouthpiece off my helmet or whatever, is that really worth stewing for 15 minutes and then throwing two punches at a guy? Like, I think that's stupid. If it's the chain, if it was yanking the chain off your neck, I could see that. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's dumb. Wasn't there an eye poke involved?
Yeah,
different players?
Yeah, he kind of put his finger in CD's Chauncey Gordon. I don't even know what the fuck to call him in his eye. No. CD Deuce did that, I guess, to him a little bit maybe beforehand. Yeah. Wait, let's go back. Let's go back to Evan. Let's first of all, Evan's in the chat room, and say everybody say hi. But let's go back.
Evan says, let's see how many times Ralph calls him Sims before he realizes it's Whims. Or did I just, sorry, I just blew that. Damn it.
Evan,
sorry.
Just because you got 9,000 retweets and you got mentioned in The Ringer and by Bomani Jones, don't be coming at me with mispronunciations just because you're a goddamn star now.
Oh, well, now I got to defend myself. Now, first of all, my Beltgate investigative journalism, I was trying to prove a felony. No crime was committed on the football field here, so I don't know. I think my journalism was a little bit of more import, but that's neither here nor there. But that, I don't mean to take anything away from Mr. Sachs's work. He did a fine job, but just to go into a little detail, if you haven't seen what Evan came up with, but basically, you know, CD Deuce pulled his mouth guard, you know, 11 minutes of real time, of real, not game time, not clock time, but game time prior to the incident. This was right before Lattimore's interception, which in and of itself, you could argue that the whole event, the whole punching event was a momentum changer, a game changer. You could even argue that actually. But Wims never got back out on the field for a full 11 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever it was, and went out of his way to find CJG and do what he did. But can we just talk about the irony of all the players to be hit, to get punched in the face on the Saints?
Tom Brady just got crushed.
Dude, Gardner Johnson.
Like, some Evan said that he has lawyers in his mentions arguing if it's assault, snatching the mouthpiece. I mean, he did pop Anthony Miller on the cheek, like CD Gardner, Chauncey Gardner Johnson. So I almost merged CD Deuce with Gardner Johnson, called him CD Gardner Johnson.
Kevin, do I even want to know what you're eating right now?
Oh, it's ice cream.
Okay.
But the thing that was the most amazing of all of it, Andrew, is Wims pops Garner Johnson in the face, in the helmet. He doesn't even flinch. Like, that dude clearly has been punched in the face multiple times. It didn't even faze him.
Well, you've got to give him credit for, you guys mentioned it on the post-game podcast, but you got to give him credit for not retaliating.
Yeah.
Sitting there taking it. He could have retaliated. He could have nullified the penalty that the Saints, well, that the Bears got. It could have maybe not led to the interception on the next play. So good on him for just taking it. And it was just funny because he got hit the first time and he was like really just surprised. I mean, you could see him like just step back or take his head back, and he's like, "What's going on here?" And bam, he got hit again.
He was like a dog when a cat comes up to the dog and like slaps the dog in the face, and the dog is like, "What are you doing, cat?" But I have to say, you know, Andrew made the argument on the post game show that people like Junior Gallette because he was kind of a jerk until he wasn't, and then people got hated him. But on a scale, I feel like CD Deuce at his peak right now, like this is more enjoyable even than Junior Gallette's body bag, because Junior Gallette's like smack talk. He never fought with other players during games, did he? I don't remember this. This is delightful. Like,
oh, he was the master trash talker. You're once again, Ralph, prisoner of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember any specific
recency bias.
Recent. I am the king of that. See, he was surprised by the punch because he forgot he snatched the mouthpiece because it happened so long ago. And being an asshole is second nature to him. That's what it was. But like with this defense, Dave, as we move away, does anybody have any final thoughts on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson?
Well, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson between Michael Thomas and Wims has now cost NFL players 3 games this year. So I don't know what the NFL record is for number of players and number of games suspended in a year is, but his tally is now 3.
3.
So that's in 7 games. So let's see how many more he can pile up.
Kevin, over under CD Deuce getting players suspended 3.5 by Vegas. He's up to 3.
He'll find a way to get somebody else suspended for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll take that. 3.5, sure.
Dave, this defense yesterday was incredibly frustrating because they managed to let the Bears have their longest pass play of the year, their longest running play of the year, yet they sacked Foles 5 times. They had an interception. For the first time ever, the Saints had a dropped interception, and Saints Twitter was happy they did it when Lattimore dropped the play on fourth down. The first time ever the no-catching motherfuckers dropped an interception, and it worked out for the Saints.
Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience and is waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replacement blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turn off. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
God, so they Daniel were wild. Jones, you suck.
So they were wild.
I think you're behind. I think, Andrew, I think fast forward your thing.
Well, I'm on my phone because I'm doing this. I don't have a TV in here. So
you're like way behind because you're bitching at Daniel Jones, but he just completed a pass to Golden Tate over the middle.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. Yes, yes. Thanks, Dave.
And they're driving, so this is going well.
They're driving.
And by the way, Tom Brady had a touchdown pass, so I think that means he's now tied with Breeze.
But he is a game ahead. Right.
ESPN didn't have a full breaking news banner or the birthday confetti like Twitter does when Tom Brady tied the record or broke the record. But, Dave, this defense now, how are you feeling about it after yesterday? Because they looked really good at times and really horrible at times. What's your feeling on the defense?
Guys talked about it. It's frustrating because they're schizo. They're totally fucking schizo. You preface this whole question. They do some things very good sometimes, very well sometimes, and they still do some things very poorly. Specifically, the big plays. They're still giving up big passing plays, and it's frustrating. But I guess if we want to look at the bright side, earlier this season it was mostly bad. So now if it's a little 50-50 mixture of good and bad, then I think that means they're heading in the right direction. Oh, shit, Daniel Jones just got picked off.
No.
God
oh, my
damn it.
God.
No. Was it deep in the Bucs territory?
No. They're in their own territory.
Daniel Jones is such
anyway,
trash.
So, again, if you want to look on the bright side of things, it seems like maybe they are improving. They're not totally terrible. They're only half terrible now, and maybe we're heading towards just a little terrible, which would be great. You know, maybe we'll just give up one 50-plus passing play a game. If we could limit it to that, maybe that'd be good. Beggars can't be choosers here. I'm not asking for miracles. Just give me something to work with.
Andrew, to plug the grades, by the way, you should become a $10 patron so you can get the booze bundle from
my wife.
And you get access to Andrew's Gate. Andrew, tell him about my boy, David Onyemata, being your highest rated defender for the year.
Yeah, well, his GPA isn't great, but it's the best. but no, I mean, it's fair. He's been the most consistent. I don't know that he's been dominant, but I think you got to give him props of the decisions the Saints made this offseason. That's feeling like one of the better ones right now. He's earning his keep. He's been consistent. He's stopping the run. He's getting a little pass rush going. And honestly, on the defensive line, I don't know that I expected to say that he would be the guy playing the most consistently, and yet here we are.
All right, this is a round the horn question on this defense. I'm giving you magical powers, and you can make one Saints player on the defense play to their potential. Kevin, who on the Saints defense, if I say you can have a magical...
Don't start with me. Don't start with me. I have to look at the depth chart.
Okay, Dave, I'll start with you. Can you guys help Kevin out in the chat room?
Give him some answers.
You can't make them great, but you can make them play to their full potential. What's the player on the defense?
Sorry, I'm sorry that I get to go first because the rest of you are going to have a hard time. But I think the obvious answer is Cam Jordan. He hasn't played his potential all season. We haven't seen that yet at all.
Yeah.
If we could get his full potential, we'd be in a lot better shape in the pass rush department. Absolutely.
Yeah. Andrew.
Yeah, Fredo in the chat says Trey Hendrickson, but honestly, he's already playing to his full potential.
He's maxed out.
I mean, I'll pick Lattimore, and Kevin, you should pick DeMario Davis, but I'll go with Lattimore, and I think his full potential is top five corner, and I'm not sure he's playing like a top 50 corner right now. So, obviously if he could be locked down and we're talking about the top receiver every week, right? It was Allen Robinson this week, but it'll be Mike Evans next weekend. And he's always matched up with the toughest guy. So if he can erase the best player, the secondary is going to look a lot better.
Yeah, I was going to say
Kevin's going to say Kiko Alonso.
Got one.
He thinks Kiko Alonso should play up to his full potential.
I'm going to say Jack Rabbit, because he more so than Lattimore. I know Lattimore can be a top five corner, but Janoris Jenkins, when he is at his best, he's getting interceptions more so than Lattimore, more so than anybody in the secondary. So he's my pick. And it's just fun to say Jack Rabbit did something great. Kevin,
you're going to go with Quan Alexander?
No. Ralph, I want you to cue up the greatest soundbite in this show's history.
Which one? They're all so good.
Oh, boy.
Take it to the top?
In whose opinion?
Shy Tuttle.
No. Oh,
deception! Matt Ryan! Oh, my God. Wie eine Puppe gibt er ihn in Stiffarm und er fliegt auf den Boden. Hör doch mal auf.
Kevin wins. Well, he doesn't even watch the games and he wins. We should all be ashamed.
Yep.
Fucking Brady.
Wait, what happened?
He just completed a pass. I just hate him so much. I'm tired of Brady getting all the old man love that Drew deserves. That's what I'm tired of.
Right, and they're only about to put up 20-something points, just like Drew did.
Yeah.
And he's got Gronkowski and Mike Evans.
Yeah, we were playing the Bears, not the freaking Giants.
Yes.
The one interesting thing is that I think we sort of take for granted maybe is the Saints' special teams yesterday. Deontay Harris had another good return, Andrew. And I know Morstead struggled a little punting the ball in the wind, and he had laces out. But the special teams, man.
Laces in.
When you play all these one-score games that the Saints have had, I mean, they've won four in a row, but it's by a combined 15 points. When you play these one-score games, I know the stat nerds say that it's luck and it'll regress to the mean, and I get all that. But I tend to think teams that it might regress over time, but teams that lose one-score games all the time, I think you can point to things of they turn the ball over all the time and they have shitty special teams. And the Saints do neither of those things. What is more important, do you think, the great special teams or the fact, well, that's a dumb question. The turnovers is always none. But how critical are great special teams?
Well, it's the phase of the game. You know, there's three phases, and that's a pretty big one. So it's certainly the most overlooked. And I think when you add up that now Will Lutz has only missed one kick all year, and Deontay Harris is probably the most dangerous returner in the game. Thomas Morstead, by the way, I looked at this today. He has the worst average in the league.
Oof.
Funny. He is dead last. So I don't know.
Maybe that's why
they
have two punters on the roster.
Well, they don't, actually, because one's on IR. But nice try. that was a huge hit.
You're playing for it.
Yeah, anyway, look. Special teams is critical, this is nothing new. Last year when they went 13-3, it was a huge part of the team's success. Yeah. So I don't think that's like a crazy hot take or anything.
Yeah. I we're almost to the midpoint. They're going to play the huge game on Sunday night. By the way, the ratings are going to be monstrous. All these people that aren't watching football and yada, yada, yada. The first Tampa game opening week drew huge ratings. This one on Sunday night is going to draw even more massive ratings. So take that. But as we get to the midpoint of this year, what the thing that's so crazy about the defense, Dave, is even on Yamada, who's my boy, and I stand for him, and even Andrew said, look, his grade, even though he's the highest rated defender, he's not exactly lighting the world on fire. The thing that's so sort of perplexing about this defense is there's no one on the defensive side where you can point to and you could be like, that guy's a lot better than he was in 2019. And I just – is it the most surprising thing as we sit here after seven games that the defense has completely regressed in every conceivable way? Is it the most surprising thing about the season?
You don't think Trey Hendrickson is playing better this year than he was last year?
That's a good point. I mean, he was playing really good at the end of last year, and he rocked it in the playoff game against Minnesota. But so I guess if you want to say the playoff game doesn't count towards the 2019 season, I guess I'll give you Trey Hendrickson. But overall, everything's worse about the defense: the pass rush, the secondary, all of it. Is that the most? Is it the most surprising thing about 2020?
Is it the most surprising thing about 2020? I don't know. I mean, if you told me CD Deuce was going to get punched in the face twice in one season, I probably would have said, no way, you're pulling my chain. So I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of
I need a ruling, Kevin. Does CD Deuce getting punched twice, does that count as on-field activity?
Yes.
I'll tell you how bad the state of the defense is. I would say that Malcolm Jenkins is probably the third best player on the defense right now in terms of just current form, and he's really not playing that great.
Wow. He bitch slapped Jimmy Graham though, because Jimmy Graham is completely washed and Malcolm Jenkins owned him. Poor Jimmy.
Yes, he did.
Poor Jimmy Graham. He made two mistakes. The mistake of leaving and pissing Sean Payton off so they traded him, and then he made a mistake taking all that money from Green Bay and not coming back in 2018. He made the mistake twice.
That was probably a good decision. Add that to the list, Ralph, of things Mickey Loomis wanted to do that he was saved from.
Oh, my God. That Mickey Loomis's superpower is not being able to make horrible moves that he wants to, because Jadeveon Clowney, Dave, is fucking terrible for the Titans. And I mean, we were all excited, but I'll take it. I'll admit, I was the most excited of us.
It's true.
So it's another move that works out. But I guess that's a good segue to my next question, Kevin, before we get to the hotline, which, let me just say, the hotline this week, it is amazing. We have a nominee for the greatest hotline. It might be a top five greatest moment of this podcast. It's a call from – it's an international patron. It's just amazing. But we'll get to that. I totally lost my train of thought.
You were about to play a clip, right?
No, calls? I was about to play this, because the Saints, they traded with the San Francisco, and let's just be real, Mickey Loomis won again.
He trade raped you. You've been trade raped.
So they took advantage of San Francisco, Dave, and got Quan Alexander for a song, but they got till 3 o'clock tomorrow, and they still got a second, a third, and a fourth round pick. Well, no, they don't have a third. They got. Well, can you trade the? You can't. No, they can't trade the.
No.
They can't trade the. Can't trade the comp pick. So they still got lots of ammunition to burn. Sorry, Kevin. But what are they gonna do before 3 o'clock tomorrow, Dave?
Oh, man. The reality, probably nothing.
What?
What you want me to say?
God, I hate to hear that.
Sign,
I hate to hear that.
They're going to trade. They're going to get J.J. Watt for the entire 2021 draft class.
Oh, my God.
I hope you're happy. Sorry, Kevin.
Kevin, if they can get out of tomorrow and make a trade and come out of tomorrow still having their first and second round pick in 2021, will you consider that a win?
Yeah. Yeah. And I hate that I have to say that. We're going to wind up with fucking, you know, three or four picks again. But then who the fuck, you know, fucking 2009, the team only had four picks. And yeah. I wasn't fucking happy about it then. And so that turned out well. So,
Zach
I don't know
Bond.
Shit. Obviously.
Zach Bond is a terrible pick, man. He just – and think, they were desperate. Teams refused their advances. They were willing to give up more to get him. And he's a total fucking bust in 2020. So this hotline, Dave is so excited about the hotline. He pesters us all. He's like, do we have hotline? Do we get good calls? Do we have it?
I can't take it anymore.
He pesters us. Well, Dave.
That is such a fucking exaggeration.
This might
not really.
Be.
Not really.
I texted you once today to ask you what was on the hotline.
It felt like a dozen
times. The other
times
I pester you is because I left a fucking hotline message, and I know you're not going to check it, so I'm just making sure you get my hotline message.
Fair enough. But this week's hotline, it's amazing. So let's get to it. It's time for this week's hottest takes from the Saints Happy Hour Hotline.
I just want to conduct a search party for Sean Payton's balls because his ambush and flea flicker and challenge flag raining days are over, and he's now the guy who bent over for Goodell and doesn't trust his future Hall of Fame quarterback to get 8 yards with the game on the line.
As we've learned with anything in 2020, it's all just a bunch of horseshit.
So fuck it. That's it. That's the voicemail. That's it. That's it. Play me on a show. Don't play me on a show. I don't give a fuck.
Jesus fucking Christ. I just got to say one thing. I am an active 24-year-old, and every time I watch the fucking Saints this season, I feel like I'm losing 15 years off my fucking life. That is all.
Game just what? Ended. It wasn't pretty, but no, I mean, our best three wide receivers were out. We're 5-2. It's October or November now, but look, as we got the win, 5-2, hoot at, baby. Let's go.
Have you ever wanted to leave anywhere more in your life than Sean Payton wanted to leave Chicago?
I hated every single moment of that game, and I think we're all worse off for having watched it. That being said, we still won, so fuck it. Love the show, thanks.
Dude, so for like 6 weeks, I've been calling the Saints Happy Hour Hotline, leaving, you know, freaking vulgar messages to you guys, swearing, bitching about, you know, wow, fucking trashy wide receivers, all of that. And then turns out, I found out last weekend that I had one number wrong, so I've just been leaving, you know, Saints-related, vulgar-laden voicemails to just some random dude in New Orleans. And then he finally texts me, he's like, why have you been leaving me all these voicemails? So that was, you know, that sucked. I thought all this time my voicemails just sucked and you guys are, you know, assholes not wanting to include me. So yeah, I guess I've been, you know, just leaving a random dude fucking voicemails was full of swear words the whole time. Anyway, so we've got.
That's the most amazing. That might not. We might do the show 10 more years. It will never be topped. Your boy is leaving vulgar voicemails to some random person, and the random person's like, "Dude, why are you texting me about Marcus Williams being a trash pile?"
This is what we need to do. We need to find out what number he was calling and get that guy on the show and get his yes. thoughts and opinions on these random voicemails.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, speaking of segments, Ralph, tell us about, since I can't watch them anymore, since WWL TV doesn't put your video on.
Yeah, that's annoying. That's really annoying.
On your articles. Tell us about your morning gig with Eric Paulson this morning.
So, So in the morning, I tweet out, like, when I set up at, like, 6:30. I'm like, hey, everybody join me. I'm going to be on with Eric in, like, 15 minutes. So Sheba Turk tweets me back. She's like, go get him, Ralph. So I was like, I got to come up with a good insult for Eric. Because Eric, Dave, you grade. You know, he's been owning me all year. But I came with Randy Macho Man Savage from the top rope today. I told Eric, I said, CD Deuce is the Saints player that most reminds me of you because everybody wants to punch you both in the face. And he was stunned, and he's just like, let's move it along. I knocked him the fuck out. I'm never going to top that.
You gotta get stands of this shit. You gotta just get out.
But his helmet was off when you landed that punch, though. That's
I know. It was great. That's probably. Yeah. I don't even think beating Les East for the AP column of the year could make me happier than giving it to Eric Paulson.
Who are you kidding, Ralph? Who are you kidding?
Was that because Paulson pulled your mouth guard week two?
Yeah, in
your week two interview?
He does.
Took you 6 weeks to get back at him.
Of course, they don't post my moment of glory. I was very, very disappointed in that.
Before we move on, I had one other thing to say about the game. I had one stat that I didn't see anybody else talking about. I wanted to be sure to mention. The Chicago Bears had 23 points on Saturday. Three fewer than the Saints, but of those 23 points, 17 of those points were scored by Tulane alums.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to mention that. Tulane is practically carrying the Bears on their shoulders thanks to 11 points from Cairo Santos and 6 points from Darnell Mooney.
Well, that explains why their offense is so inept.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help, that's for sure.
All right.
Anyway, you know, I had to go out of my way to make sure we were all aware of that.
It's too bad they weren't playing Temple. They might have won a game.
The one thing we didn't mention, I'd forgotten about it, but the hotline reminded me of it. Kevin, Sean Payton, his clock management, yes, it was egregious. Like, and he's usually so great at it. I mean, that was Art Shell, if you're a certain age, or Herm Edwards, or Andy Reid, bad. Like, you're setting up to
Les
kick
Miles?
That field.
Are you? Is it Les Miles bad?
I mean, it's close. It's close. When you kick that field goal, Kevin, you got to run that clock down, and you got to either Saints win or it's a tie. You can't give Chicago the ball back with a minute 35 with a chance to win. Like, it was staggeringly bad. Like, I was stunned because Sean Payton's usually so good at it.
I mean, he must have had I want to say you would have to have absolute confidence in your kicker, but the fact that he missed
that
one
was definitely the case.
But it's like the fact that he missed one earlier in the night.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, like, that would, you know?
Yeah, but, like...
Do you guys think the wind would have had anything to do with that? Like, that there was... Maybe the wind had died down, and he was
because
we run it in the line 3 times, maybe a gust will come in, and...
No, because if that was the case, Sean Payton would have mentioned it after the press conference. He was like, yeah, we need to look at, like, running the clock down. Like, he knew that they botched it, but I think it's like the caller on the hotline said. He just wanted to get the hell home. He was cold, and he's like, kick the damn field goal. I'm cold. I want to get out of here.
Got a lady waiting for me down at the tarmac back home. Come on.
It makes zero sense. There's no reason why you can't run two. You want to kick it on third down? Fine. There's no reason why you can't run two plays and run the clock down. I don't get that.
The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff early, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, so we got questions. Andrew, you get in the
play the music.
Oh yeah, good. Thanks. thanks, Dave.
God, the Giants are really blowing this.
Oh yeah,
they're blow. It's not, but it's past tense, Juge. It's blown.
I would love to go to a wedding with you, Ralph.
Finger guns.
It's Monday night game. Pornhub.
Make sure you do jazz hands, Ralph.
Jazz hand. So here we go. We got questions. Check in. Get in the Discord channel, Andrew, to make sure we don't miss people, because the patrons. We like to make sure we answer their questions. So Dave, how come it took so long for the injected witch doctor frog intestines to work for Drew Brees? And when he sues them, will he get more than his fake diamonds are worth?
If he sues who? The doctors who injected him with whatever that's making him play better now?
Soon enough, I guess.
I don't think there's any magical medicine here. I think it's just a case of, like we've said before, he's like an old lawnmower. You know, it just takes a little bit to get warmed up. But once he gets going, he's all reliable.
Andrew, this is a good football question from Cody. How is Aaron Glenn escaping scrutiny? Is Aaron Glenn's DB practice to find an alleyway off veterans and huff paint thinner?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. He's been good for so long. We've kind of said he's the Saints' best assistant. But, yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Sean Payton wouldn't let him leave, man. Cincinnati 2 years ago was like, we want him to be the defensive coordinator. Sean Payton was like, no. Here's a question from Freddie, Kevin. How many times will Hit the Quan get played in the locker room after he kills Tom Brady?
73.
Take it to the top.
103.
Andrew.
Giants are still alive here if they got 4th-and-1 here.
Ooh, are they going to kick it?
No, I think they're going for it. I think
Oh,
Arians
my God, no.
They're going for it.
More, Dave, more disliked, CeeDee Deuce by Bears receivers or the Hard Rock Hotel by New Orleanians or the Saints by the refs?
What was the first one? CeeDee Deuce by what?
The Bears receivers.
Oh. Definitely the Hard Rock for New Orleans residents.
Ooh, this is a good question for you, Andrew, because you hate this person that is involved in the question. If CeeDee Deuce played for the Falcons, would he be more hated than Roddy White?
I think so.
Oh,
yes.
Now they're kicking it.
I'll say yes.
So that's my question, Andrew. Do they have any questions?
I got a bunch. Yeah, I got a bunch in the Discord. Let's go, Kevin. This first one's for you. Has CeeDee Deuce changed his game plan from trying to cover and tackle receivers to trying to get them kicked out of the game? We know he works on this in practice.
I might appreciate it if that was his strategy. Might be something I could actually pay attention to and follow.
Dave, do you think Michael Thomas plays next week?
No. I don't. I don't think that. I know that there's been people that have been talking that they think something weird is going on with Michael Thomas in the locker room, attitude problems, teammate problems, whatever. I don't necessarily think it's that. I'm concerned that we're like getting into another like Delvin Bro situation where he's got these health issues and he's being misdiagnosed or whatever, and like he just like cannot get healthy and cannot get back on the field. That's my worst nightmare.
Well,
Buccaneers kick the field goal. They're up by 8. Daniel Jones is going to get the ball back with 3
and
minutes
and throw another
and
pick.
Seconds.
That's what's going to happen.
They need a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. Here comes a pick. This isn't really a question from Luke 42, but he says, why do we continue to evaluate the defense as if it should be the 85 Bears? No defense has all 11 players playing mistake-free for 16 games. Busted coverages aside, this defense is playing better and is above average for this era of football.
Ooh,
so that's a statement.
No. They're not a bear. Yeah. They're like 28th or 30th in DVOA for defense. They're not good.
You know the defense is top 10 in the league only because they're number one in penalties, and that doesn't count against yards yielded. But
he does make a point in that I think they – I don't – we know – what hopeless defense looks like. We saw it in 2012, 2014, 2015, 2016, where it's just, you know, the players are garbage, the scheme is kind of garbage, and it's hopeless. And we've seen that. I don't feel hopeless with this defense. I still feel like they can get it together and they can play better. I don't know how much better, but they can get somewhere between 2018 really good and 2019, kind of good. So I'm not giving up hope yet. So I like that.
Okay. Question. All right, I got two more questions. This first one's for you, Ralph. How can Sean Payton convince Breeze that all four quarters are a two-minute drill? And is Drew a better play caller than Sean this season?
Well, I don't know. I think Drew, Sean's still calling most of the plays in the two-minute. I mean, the thing with the Saints is, if he could convince him, I mean, it'd be tricky. I don't know what you would maybe like if Drew starts thinking about Jimmy John's right before the half, maybe they could have like a sandwich on the sideline for him to like tempt him to get him like thinking it's the 2 minutes. I don't know. But the thing is with the Saints too is to play the 2 minute all the time, you got to play hurry up, and the Saints, like, that ain't their bag anymore. Like, they got to possess the ball, got to do that sort of thing. But maybe a Jimmy John sandwich to tempt him, to make him think it's happening.
Kevin, will Mickey Loomis go YOLO and get Patrick Peterson?
I mean, how many more picks are they going to have left for 2020? Or 2021, I should say.
Those are unnecessary.
None after they trade for J.J. Watt.
That's right.
It's the J.J. Watt.
Yeah, no. Like, I mean, look, that would be one Peterson I would be happy to have on the team.
nice.
Man, all them picks, fuck. No.
Yeah. All right. We got to get to the game Sunday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Saints at Tampa, Sunday night, NBC, 7:20, 7:15. Andrew, the Saints are a 4-point underdog as of now to the Bucks. Who you got? And more importantly, who will be your...
They won't even bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
All right, here's the deal. Clearly, no one else wants to do the Saints' dirty work for them, so I guess they're going to have to do it themselves. All I've been hearing all year is about Tom Brady and the Bucks. They've lost to the Saints, by the way. They played. Yeah. These two teams played, and one of the two teams won, and it wasn't Tom Brady. Just want to point that out. But I already know the national media is going to say that it was Tom Brady's first game. I know that's coming, so... What are they going to be able to say? What's going to be the excuse when the Saints sweep their ass, take back first place? Michael Thomas is going to come back. It's going to be his first game since the last time he played, which was also against the Bucks, and he didn't play well against the Bucks. I think he remembers that he had like 2 catches for 17 yards, and it's a team against which he got hurt. So he's furious. He's going to want to play well. He's my player of the game. Saints 31, Bucks 21.
Dave, who you got?
Wait, what was your score?
31-21?
31-21.
Oh, I thought he said 21-21. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'll go with the tie. We keep the tiebreaker if we tie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, Ralph, you mentioned the line is
4.
Bucks 4. That may change if the Giants can pull out this win here.
That's not happening.
Spoiler
alert, they won't.
Well, the Giants, they've only got 2nd and 15, but they're on their 42-yard line. It's going to be a close game. I think these are, even though they've played each other this season already, I think, and it's only been 8 weeks since they've last played, I think that they're a lot different than they were back in week one. I think both Tom Brady and Drew Brees have warmed up a little bit. I think obviously they may have nut job wide receiver guy.
Oh yeah, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown. I don't know how much he's going to contribute his first game with a new team after being away for so long. But I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a very close game. I do not think this is an easy win for the Saints. But I'll say Saints 27, Bucks 26.
Refs 15.
Yeah. Saints are going to win by 1 point. And my player of the game, I was right last week with Taysom Hill. This week, I'm going to be right again. I'm going to say Deontay Harris. He's going to have either a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown.
Kevin, who you got?
I was literally thinking 27-26.
Remember to watch the game. It's on NBC this week, buddy.
So now I'm going to change that. I'm going to go.
If it feels right, it feels right, Kevin. Come on, man.
When you know, you know.
When you know, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they. Yeah, I don't think the Saints cover either. I'm going to say. I'll say 30-27.
Saints.
Saints.
Well, their Saints are underdogs, so they'd cover.
Wait a minute.
Tampa's about four.
Wait. Okay. Fuck. Well, Saints are winning. Fuck. I thought. Never mind. Whatever. Ignore me. I'm a fucking idiot.
Listen, I'm gonna
isolate that audio. and I'll say for the hero of the game, I will go. I'm looking at the depth chart, trying to see a name that just jumps out at me and says, "Pick me, pick me,
we
pick
need
me."
The Jeopardy
and
theme.
Dave left the chat here.
Chauncey Gardner.
CD Deuce being the player of the game.
I'm gonna say Cam Jordan gets three sacks.
Oh, three.
Wow.
I'm gonna say Cam Jordan gets three sacks.
What do you think this is? 2019.
I'm gonna tell all of y'all people, y'all are wrong, and I'm gonna play this soundbite.
You think you know, but you don't know, and you never will.
Are you picking Tampa?
No. Saints 38. Tampa 17. And
yeah, right.
Monday night, it's Monday morning, America is going to be like, holy shit. Maybe the Saints are the best team in the NFC. The Saints are going to wreck Tampa. It's all going to come together, as Hannibal Smith from the A-Team would say. I love it when a plan comes together. Sean Payton is going to out-coach Arians. The defense is going to miraculously get a pass rush, create three turnovers, and romp the Bucs. And it's going to be the Saints' best performance of 2020, 38-17. In the fourth quarter, we're going to be making jokes, and I'm going to be building out the stuff for the Monday big show because it's going to be in the bag. That's how big of an ass-kicking it's going to be. How about that?
Giants 4th-16. Let's stay on the podcast until this play is
fourth.
Over.
How about this? Fourth and never happening. Just
well,
I don't
it's,
have
it's second and 10 for me. So.
Well, I hate to.
I'll just listen to what you say.
So, Dave, can I play this? Is it officially over yet?
No, it's not. 4th-16. Here we go. Daniel Jones almost threw an interception on the 3rd-16 play. So we'll see what he does on the 4th-16 play here. 2 seconds, 1 second on the play clock. Here's Daniel Jones. He drops back 3 steps. He's throwing it. I got it! The first down! 30-yard line!
Let's
I'm not
go.
Kidding! I am not kidding! First down on the 30! 1 minute and 11 seconds left.
Come on, Giants.
We're live,
let's go.
Live casting the rest of this fucking game. This is going to be pick if they get this. They got to get the touchdown and the two-point conversion.
How did they drop that pick on 3rd-16? That was right in his hands.
I know.
How is this disaster going to end for the Giants, Kevin? I'm thinking it's going to end like this.
They have no timeouts. What's going to happen is they're just going to run out of time. They're just going to fuck up and run out of time.
They are on. Oh, they gave them the first on that last play. They're on the 19-yard line. They're in the red zone. They got 40. They got 38 seconds left.
They're gonna score and then botch the two-pointer.
That might be what happens.
I don't take into account shit. All I take into account is they kicked our ass today. That's what I take into account.
That's just gonna
happen. We don't have any more questions to fill the time.
Kevin, putting your hopes in Daniel Jones, what would be a worse thing to put your hopes and dreams in? Then Daniel Jones.
Hoping that you learn how to masturbate with your left hand?
That's wrong.
Well then. Wow.
I'm right here.
To the end zone, Daniel Jones. Touchdown! They score!
Touchdown! Ralph, you better start doing some hand exercises with that lefty.
Oh, left hand, right.
The crippled one? So now the two-point conversion will come, and it will not be good, and it will break our heart.
Yeah. Yeah, way to get all excited, Saints fans. I know how this movie ends. They're going to miss the two-pointer because the great Tom Brady.
Well, so we can't – if they go to overtime, are we going to live cast overtime?
No, my battery on the phone's dying.
All right.
So well, I'll drop out. You guys can soldier on.
Well, wait, no, I don't know if he had 2 feet in bounds. They might call this back.
Yeah. Are
they – They're trying to get the playoff before
that's,
they even,
that's, yeah. That's noted Saints killer Golden Tate, by the way.
They stopped the clock. Looks like the Bucks called a timeout. I thought they would have had to review that.
It's all scored, right?
If they get the 2 point, well, you know what I should have played when you called the touchdown? I should have played this.
Wait, no, save that for the 2 point.
Oh, no,
That's definitely a touchdown. No doubt.
No doubt.
That's not even close. That's not even close.
Yep, touchdown. Definitely.
Not even close. Not even
definitely
close.
A touchdown.
I mean, let me tell you, the Giants plus 12.5 has one thing that it's good for me is it helped me avoid a total gambling apocalypse this weekend. Thank you, Giants.
2 point conversion is no good. Told you.
What? Flag, now you're ahead of us?
Got a flag.
No, I don't know. I'm reading the chat. Daniel Dovel.
Oh, Dovel. Flag.
Did I say that right, Daniel? Daniel Dovel?
Duval?
I'd probably guess Duvel.
I think it's Dovel.
I'll guess Duvel.
I'm going to guess Duvel. Yeah, Duvel. Flag. All right, they're convening. They're talking about what this flag is going to be.
After what is it? After discussion.
After discussion, we need Tom Brady to win.
We decide to screw the Saints.
I think we broke like 9,000 broadcast laws doing this.
Dovel.
So, have they decided?
That's a win for me.
Are you not watching this, Ralph? You're not in front of the TV?
No, my wife's watching the news.
My wife. So Borat's back in, baby.
My wife.
So what's the verdict? Is the game a wrap?
Yes. They called no. I guess they picked up the flag.
Come on. After all that?
Yep, no 2-point conversion.
Of course they did.
You got to be kidding me.
Tampa. No. Tampa.
You knew it was
going to
happen.
One of the worst teams in the NFL.
I don't know if I agree with that, though. That looks like Pitt. Let me see here. They're showing it right now.
Yeah.
He hit it's pretty. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So, thanks for joining us on
God.
This Bucks Radio Network.
Well, that was a fun, exciting end.
It was a fun, exciting end.
Well, they kicked the onside kick, right? Still
yeah.
Win.
That ain't. Give it up, Juge. It's done. It's a wrap. So. You should become a patron to this podcast and get this podcast every freaking day. And by the way, if the Saints do a trade tomorrow, of course, we will have the breaking news podcast as it happens. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, I'm Ralph. Until next time, the bar is closed.
We're coming for you, Tampa.
Ooh, a lot of playbacks tonight.